Welcome to Career Buzz, the unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Today we explore your career as an opportunity to honor your culture and your calling. Hi, I'm Erica Madison, Executive Coach, Certified Career Advisor, and CEO of Erica Madison Coaching and Consulting. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in. When you identify as an artist, creating isn't a choice so much as an internal mandate. Today I speak with Geraldine Barney, who I originally met when she held an open studio at the North American Indian Center of Boston. Geraldine's artwork explores the relationship between the traditional Navajo values and beliefs she grew up with on the Navajo Reservation in Northwest New Mexico with contemporary city life off the reservation. Living in two cultures is a prominent theme in her art and her music. Geraldine studied printmaking at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and at the Kansas City Art Institute in Kansas City, Missouri. Although a printmaker at heart, Geraldine is currently working on a series of landscapes, both real and imagined, that invoke her passion for the land of the Southwest and her connection to the Navajo Reservation. Geraldine is also a singer and songwriter whose work is included in two Smithsonian Folkways CDs, Music of New Mexico, Native American Traditions, and Heartbeat, Voices of First Nations Women. In our conversation, you'll learn about Geraldine's diverse career from visual artist and musician to staff member at Harvard University. Geri, tell me about what you love about what you do in your work as an artist.
As an artist, I enjoy the creative parts that I that come centrally from my heart and my mind and my spirit at the same time. An artist's canvas is considered a very sacred space, and to be in that sacred space and to put something on that sacred space has to come from that part of myself in order for it to flow and to grow and to communicate how I'm feeling, what I want to express and put out for people to see. And I really enjoy creating Southwest landscaping. And I used to use actual visuals to go by landscapes on the Navajo Reservation, which spans in Arizona, New Mexico, Utah. And that's what I love. I really love and honor and respect the earth that I walk on and live on, where I want to give that and show that feeling on canvas, and to sit with oneself and to use the tools of color and the tools of paintbrushes in the world to express that that's coming from inside of myself. And I find that very healing to me and very helpful for my existence. If I don't do it, I kind of tend to not be my well self. But when I do my artwork, it's when I really feel and thrive to want to do better.
How do you describe yourself to people who don't yet know you?
As when I announce myself or when I say who I am, I, you know, say Geraldine Barney, and then I say what I had said was that in itself is saying the strands of my ancestors, and it is my ancestors that have put me here, and that that has created me, and that's how I have become in this world. And that in itself is showing my culture, where I grew up at, and how I approach the world from that, that I'm not just by myself. I have, you know, that there are others that have paved the way, and I have to be, you know, and to be respectful, because, and give thanks. And that is how I reveal myself. And I'm very transparent. I tried my best to speak the truth and articulate what I see and what I've experienced to be able to help others. I hope it does help others. And yeah.
And how would you say that this upbringing, this culture, this perspective has shaped how you've gone about your career?
So when I went to the Institute of American Arts, well, I had, you know, done some drawings and done some sketches and paint here and there, and took up instruments that I was curious about. And as it wasn't until I went to the Institute of American Arts, it's located in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was there for a couple of years. It wasn't until then that I was able to be able to be much more centered from being growing up on the Navajo reservation and listening to traditional stories, listening to traditional ways of life, which is connected to earth, connected to the four-legged, the birds, and you know, all of nature. And then growing up in public schools, to where your best, you know, you'll get an A in the curriculum, and those two were very conflicting, and it was really hard for me to navigate through that. And as a musician, I would sing about or play my feelings on the guitar to express that conflict that's going on. And it didn't work with me. It was very difficult for me. It was emotionally difficult. And it was the art and music that helped me. And as I, and what merged those two together to be able to use them in unison, the public way of thinking, or the public school, the educational system of America, and the traditional Navajo way, was going to the Institute of American Indian Arts. And that was helpful in me, for me to use them in as the same in navigating life, and seeing that these two worlds, so I would switch, I guess. I would, I want an A in this, or I want to to be, it was really hard. And what helped me was to really take in my culture and let my culture coming from Navajo to be more dominant, and to know that there's contrast there, know that there's difficulties with what was going on in America. And so my art and my music was able to soothe and help me express myself.
So it sounds like it was really challenging to reconcile, you know, your cultural background with the educational system that you were participating in, because there were so many differences.
Exactly.
And that once you got into your art education, you were able to sort of unify certain aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And then make choices from there. And those choices came easier as to choosing harmony, choosing for the betterment of a community, for the betterment of people, for the betterment of my children, for the betterment of everyone messages to be able to assist visually through my artwork and through lyrics on with my songs.
And as you started to get more aware of your skills and what forms of artwork you were really gravitating toward, what were you learning about yourself and the strengths that you bring?
I learned about expression, about whatever I express is there. There's like a fingerprint of that comes out on canvas, that no matter what way or gesture, quickness, kind of like a Jackson Pollock, but it's more, you can really see it of your style and your identity on it, that I didn't have to worry about that because that was already there and I could just go freely and do what I needed to do and to be confident and safe with that. And that's what I had learned. I learned that I really find myself inside growing, the happiness growing by doing my artwork. And that it's the calmness and the silence of working on an art piece and the honing in on what I'm really feeling and creating lyrics to express that process. I find that that helps me for some reason. And I have to do it. If I don't, I, you know, kind of go off balance. And yeah.
And not only are you a visual artist, you're also a singer-songwriter.
Yes, I am. I have grown up as my uncle had come home with a guitar one day, and I was very curious about it and started plucking the guitar. And it wasn't until one day when he had come home and saw that there was a string broken, and he looked at me, and I'm like, I think I was like 10 years old. And he said, he kind of like already knew, you know, how older siblings or relatives are. And he had asked me if I had, he just said, "Jerry, when you play the guitar, just don't touch these things. It's the tuning mechanism on it." And then that's when I gave myself away, is when I said, okay. And so anyway, so that started the musical part, and not knowing how to play, but figuring the tools out, figuring what chords are and what each fret on the guitar met, and that the strings and what they met, that curiosity grew. And my mom had had one of my uncle's other uncles or grandfathers purchase a guitar and bring it back for me, and that's when I started playing. And it's just the silence or the solace of having that to figure out things, to problem solve, to think about it and to know and to understand things from left and right, backwards, forwards, in order to make next decisions. And that through the guitar and understanding it more was helpful in me to move forward with playing a tune.
So interesting the way you describe it and the way that the instrument has helped you to process things.
Yes, and it's a beautiful instrument, and it could be a lot of I approach it as a ceremonial instrument, because a lot of the way I observed ceremony while growing up, that these tools are used to heal and to take care of one another. And so to me, the instrument, that's what the guitar is. It has a head, has a neck, has a body, and to be respectful to it, and because it is helping me express myself, and I am symbiotically helping it make noise and make its special tunes and sounding, and to be helpful in that way. And so that's what the guitar is for me.
Wow, that's beautiful. I saw some people recently making guitars out of wood by hand, and mm-hmm. they were stunning. And what you're speaking about, the anatomy of the guitar mm-hmm. and the relationship of you with the guitar, just reminding me of that visual.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need it. I respect it, and really have to be collaborative with the piece. It's alive, and I need to be respectful of it. And that respect, helps me in thanks and gratitude for it.
And speaking of collaboration, how has working with other people within your community impacted what you've learned, how you've shown up, what you've created?
Here at the North American Indian Center of Boston, in Massachusetts, they have been very, very supportive. They've given me an art studio to work in. I'm an artist residence there at this time, and there's projects that come up. And as you could see here, I have one piece that we had started when COVID, kind of left in a way. We came out and created this art piece with a turtle on it, a buffalo, and a young child playing a drum. And it's been an ongoing project, and I just now had more of the community members put their handprints on it to show that it's a collaborative effort to create an art piece. There is another art piece that's residing at the North American Lifelines Health Center, and they have one where it was collaborative. And then I'm working on a third piece, its background is blue, because what I want is that this land that we stand on, that we are right now, is of the blue people. This is their land, Massachusetts. And wanted to do that, make that recognition of and start in that way, to visually start that the blue people were here first, and then inviting community to put their handprint in it, to give that they are a part of it. And so overall, I've want to continue that visually for the community of Boston, and that not one person can do this on their own. It takes a lot of people, a lot of listeners, a lot of symbiotic relationships. I just had an artist here named Inks, and was here to share their past and share their and we sat here. Inks did some watercoloring while I worked on this art piece here. And it's that knowledge, that symbiotic knowledge that you learn from an individual, and they're learning from you, and then you start to get ideas and grow from it. And we need that. And we need to, relate back to one another. And part of that process is to relate back to the land that we walk on, to relate back to Mother Earth. And that satisfying feeling when I do a landscape of Mother Earth and connecting back to her and doing the maniculous crevices and canyons, and I feel the joy that I'm getting to know her, the valleys and crevices and the sunset on the rocks, and learning about that is very satisfying. And what I want to message or give messages about Mother Earth is to, you know, reconnect back to her. She is a globe. We all have that connection with her all around the globe. And once we know and really learn that respect, because she's feeding us, she's caring for us, she's placed a place for us to have a home, placed a place for us to walk, and a place for us to have joy and all these different feelings, that she deserves that respect. And when I do these landscapes, I put in a lot of color, and a lot of color to show my feelings for her. And my thought is, if we are able to connect back with her, we'll be able to have a matrix of how to take care of one another as beings with five fingers.
So your respect for Mother Nature sounds like it's been a really important part of your artwork and collaborating with other artists.
You're listening to Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and worldwide at CIUT.fm. Stories show that who you are matters. I'm your host, Erica Madison. Before continuing on with today's show, I'd like to remind you about other Career Buzz episodes about inspiring career stories. To check them out, go to careercycles.com and click podcast, or subscribe to the podcast Career Buzz on your favorite podcast app. We appreciate you leaving us a review. I want to let listeners know about the September 27th, 2023 episode of Career Buzz, where I interview Maria Duffy. Maria's personal connection to a cause led her to pivot from art consulting to nonprofit fundraising. Did you know you can find out more about Career Buzz on Facebook? We have links to past episodes, photos, and more. Go to www.facebook.com/careerbuzzshow. Now, back to my interview with artist Geraldine Barney.
So we were talking about how your career has had a lot of different dimensions to it. And many people love creating art. They really, that's something they really care about, but they're not sure necessarily how to make it work. So could you share about how you've been able to have art be such a prominent part of your life and you've been able to pay your bills?
Yes. It was when I was in administrative and finance for Harvard College Observatory in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I was that was a career that I had done for 20 years. And while I was working there, this calling to do my artwork, I went to the Institute of American and Arts, then on to the Kansas City Art Institute in Missouri. And then from there, a year back at home on the Navajo Reservation. And what brought me to Massachusetts was my music. I got accepted to Berkeley, deferred that for several years, but ended up working with Harvard Printing and Publications. And that was able to help me because what I went to school for was for printmaking. And it was really used for academics, printing materials for students, materials for professors, etc. But that wasn't like the real printmaking that I had wanted to do. And so I now and again would enter into little art galleries or little art contests, but that was it was very rare, and I wanted to continue that. And as the years went on, and 2020, the beginning of that year is when COVID occurred. And to me, it was a message. It was COVID was a message to humanity, or to myself, well, to me. And it was like a mirror was put up, and I looked in it, and it was questioning me. The mirrored person inside was questioning, who are you? What are you about? What are you here for? What did your ancestors do? And what are you going to do? What do you value? And that was when I was like, oh, and started thinking about things. And one of the things was, okay, I need to go home. I need to be at home. This is a dangerous time. And how can I help my New Mexico family? So I moved home. And
when you say home, you mean that's where you had been brought up?
That's where I grew up. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I grew up, on the Navajo Reservation. And to be within family and to be there during that time, I was really thinking about them and worried about them. And I had lost family members to COVID and wanted to be in the vicinity. The people there have knowledge, muscle memory, brain memory, spiritual memory. And I wanted to be within that community to save it, or to, I don't know. I was trying to problem solve on how to carry that on. And I put that upon myself to do. And as I got there, I found myself with a lot of time and energy. So I started playing the flute more, writing flute songs, and really had the time to do more artwork during that time of not working. And when you need income, I decided to work in Santa Fe, because I went to school in Santa Fe for 2 years and I loved it. I loved the atmosphere. I still do today. There is an ambiance that gravitates me there, and it helps me grow and it's ambiance feeling that says continue to do your artwork. And so I went with the administrative background. I decided to help out as a secretary. They call them secretaries still in New Mexico for State Senator Shannon Pinto, and so I did that for their session, and which was really nice, because that repetition, making list of the different bills and listening to the concerns of what is needed in community, and what and the decisions and choices that are made, and the type of questions that need to be answered to help with funding, if funding is really involved, or to help with all this planning, strategic planning for the state. And it felt good to be amongst that and to see that and to see everything happen. It just widened my how organization can occur. Within Harvard, there was organization, which is the union, and I saw that. And that kind of, you know, was helpful to know of how do you get some messages across. And it's just by talking one-on-one with someone. That's all it is. And I thought it was a more complicated thing And so I'm like, okay, that's very helpful. And that occurred there with the state. And so being, from closer to home and, in Santa Fe, I went on to, there was an opening at the Institute of American Indian Arts, where I went to, art school. And I thought I could use my administrative skills there. So I was hired there as a faculty, assistant to the faculty. And it was just, that was like the best place because you're doing stuff administratively and the community, they're all artists and they're just all talking artists and they just all look like artists and everybody's all on the same plane and field. And it's just a growing for me. And I'm like at my age and I'm like, yeah, this is the best place. This is candy to my eyes, my mind, my spirit, my heart. And everybody's just all on the same field of expression of taking care of oneself to be able to take care of others. The mentality of imagery and traditional teachings that have come through each and every one of them that's saying the same message. And it was just that I did that for like maybe there's like 7 months. And in the meantime, my child, I have two children, and they stayed here in Massachusetts while I went home, and it was difficult. And my youngest expressed that and had gotten sick. And as soon as I knew, I immediately said, you know what, I need to make a change again. And go, and so I moved back to Massachusetts. And some dear friends of mine, who are artists, they're actors, and one's a graphic designer, and another one is a drummer, and their mom is a writer, and so they took me in, and to this day I'm still with them. They're like a family away from family. And anyway, they're hosting me. And and I had to make a choice again as to, well, what do I want to do? And that mirror is still showing. And I'm glad I still have it. It's a questioning of who you are, what you're going to be, how are you going to be, mechanisms are you going to use to express yourself, to show yourself and show as an example for others on how to be centered and balanced within yourself. And I'm still trying to do the best I can. I don't know if I'll ever be very centered and aligned, but that's one of the things that I wanted to seek out to do. And one of them is to really get immersed in my artwork. And so I started the creativity of what I want to do next for income was to go back and look at my bucket list. And one of the that I had was to work at night and to see how it feels at night. It was because an uncle was working at night in the mines. And I thought it was really cool that it's dark and it's like, I'm getting ready, going to work. And, so I'd stop by, you know, and I was like, wow, that is really cool. How is it? How to be able to work at night? And
So it sounds like you have this curiosity. Yeah. It's like it was something really different and that you were, you know, you'd had a little bit of
exposure and it sounded, new. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to do something new and it's going to be fun. I'm going to work at night, but where can I work at night? And one of the other things on my bucket list was to work at Home Depot. And so I applied and worked there for a year at night. And then now to this day, I'm working during the day in the hardware department. And the repetition of putting things on the shelves is and to make sure that those products are there for just regular people like us, to make sure we have all the supplies to help and take care of our homes and to help build parts of things that have broken, and to make things work better in a home. And to my culture, a home is like a womb. A home is where it's your place and your space, and you need to take care of it. Make sure you have that coziness to make sure that you are okay, and that once you're okay, you're able to thrive and to grow and to help others.
So it sounds like you've found a lot of meaning through working at basically a hardware store that is maybe surprising to some people.
Yeah, it's very different from how I've worked. Administratively, you're thinking where, are these monies appropriately put where they need to be, because some are sponsored, some are non-sponsored funds for scientific research. Are they going here and there? And you have to be on top to verbally talk about it, and to write it down, and to be, you're behind a computer and you're typing away and you're sitting there sedentary for 7 hours a day. And then going to Home Depot was like the total opposite of that, where you were moving, you were walking on concrete 8 hours a day. And you're moving, you're lifting, you're going up ladders, you're coming down, you're learning machinery to move things. And and it's satisfying to me because you can see the other person receive what they've come in to get. Mm. At Harvard, it was, you didn't see it as much until a year has gone by, and you could see the summary of things. You could see a student leaving and graduating with, their research that they've done and collaborated with a professor, and in their the grant that they received, or things
right.
like that.
Because you were working in grant administration, is that right?
And non-sponsored as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And so
what does that mean for folks who aren't familiar with that?
Sponsored and non-sponsored.
This is in terms of research.
And funds mm-hmm. that were provided for that research mm-hmm. was given really geared towards such and such research, and it can only be used for that, and it can't be used for something else. And mm-hmm. you have to be certain as to where these funds should go.
Mm-hmm. And so what kinds of skills were you developing through that kind of work in the university setting?
On how to be very articulate, and how to a lot of organizing, a lot of organization of forms and files, and a lot of filling out forms and files, mm-hmm. and a lot of learning about travel and all these different types of travel, to where sometimes you would, a student or a professor or administrative would need to go across around the world. And you'd have to know about travel arrangements, about...
because you had to do record keeping and things like that, documentation and tracking and reporting and
exactly.
things of that nature. Okay,
exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of
Attention to detail. And it can be repetitive at times. And mm-hmm. that's where the repetitiveness had helped me. And sometimes that system can just be... cyclic so that part can be, and then you're able to do this, and that's the difference. And the other part is the labor part at Home Depot is the strenuous labor part, the using your body to make things happen as to where it was mostly your mind at Harvard. And, well, I guess some repetitive strain on the wrist and arms.
Right, but, using the keyboard.
But at Home Depot, it was different. It was like, wow, I think I took a break from all of the thinking and the stressors of making sure things went where they needed to. And being at a Home Depot was to put SKU number 555 on shelf bay 5 in aisle 9 or something, you know. So it and I didn't know that world, or I did not. And when I first started working, I was like, wow, all I have to do is do this. And it, which was fine, because it was it was a form of repetition of, and yeah.
And so it's interesting, because in a way the roles are similar, and in a way they're very different, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. There's probably certain elements of working with other people, you know, kind of customer service, mm-hmm, or things, mm-hmm, like that, and organization that are consistent, but like also very different work environments.
Yes, very different work environments. Like for customer service, at Home Depot, you're one-on-one with a customer and, you know, asking what their needs are, what are they building, what are they looking for, did you get everything that you needed to be able to implement what their project is. And at Harvard, it was the same thing. It was one-on-one with an administrative staff or a coworker from a different department, but that the customer service was, what is it that you need? You need me to change this? You need me to bill out, et cetera? Okay. And, you know, and that communication to continue that. So yeah, there was like small, small transactions of back and forth communicative. And back and forth needs.
Mm-hmm. So some transferable skills, interestingly, from being in an office role at Harvard to being in a retail role at Home Depot.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, when we first met months back at the Open Studios and you were sharing with me about your background, I found it so interesting how you've had, you know, all of these different kinds of work, whether it's singer, songwriter, visual artist, working in a university setting, working at Home Depot, all of these different kinds of experiences. I'm curious, what has helped you feel that it was okay to step out of something that you were accustomed to and try something new?
I think that, that is what to be confident in self, and to be that, to let curiosity grow. And I think just that passion of learning something new, and to because everything that you're going to be learning, everything that you're gonna grasp and learn can be used in something in the future somehow. And I prior to going to the Institute of American and Arts, I was a meat department manager at City Market in northwest New Mexico, a place called Shiprock. And prior to that, so learning how to butcher, I would watch my uncle at his meat market cut meat and cut them up. And one of the delicates, what we really like to eat is mutton. The Navajo people like to eat mutton. And he would cut up the mutton, and that was food. That was food for them, for my people of the Southwest. And I watched that, and how things were cut up, a beef being cut up, and I was curious about it. I was just, I think, getting out of high school at that time, and so I was that curiosity and wanting to learn. And sometimes there's this setback of, oh, I'm a woman, I'm a girl, I don't know if I could do it. There's a lot, sometimes diminishing oneself or not letting our light shine, to dim it a little bit can be one of the internal self-talking that happens now and again. But it's having to let go and be creative and say, yes, I can do it, or I can at least try. And so there was one day that I don't know if I got the butcher upset at my uncle's store one day. My grandmother was running it that morning. And I think I said something about his butchering, and he got upset. I don't know if he was already upset or something and used that as an excuse or something, but I remember him leaving and going. And I'm like, oh no, was that because of me? And so I told my grandmother, I was like, the butcher is not here. And she's like, what? We need to get this cut and this cut and this. And I'm like, I think I could do some of it, you know. And because I had been watching, and so I did. I was able to cut and fill some of it, some of the meat counter stuff. And that, you know, of curiosity and doing it on your own, and to, you know, it's food, and that built my confidence of that was done. Okay. And so I started doing that. And after years of, but I think it was another year or two that there was an ad for butchers. And so I applied and went ahead and asked to be a manager and became manager at City Market for a couple of years. Mm. And so I think it's just taking that next step. And these were, I think, steps for... You know, you get compensated for something that you do, and you'll know you'll get compensated is the strength of, okay, yeah, I'll get compensated for doing something. And yes, it's scary. Will you do it right? Or are you going to be, you know, and after all the years of these different jobs, it's like you will find that people are giving you that time to, you know, make your mistakes. And those are okay, because those are the ones that shape you, because you will, you will learn.
Right. Learning right. by doing.
Yeah. Learning by doing.
Learning on the job.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just as anything. And I think that's one of the things. And, you know, there's all other aspects that are going on in one's world, whether it be a sick child and you need to be home and to need to care. And, you know, you'd do anything for your child to find a new job, to find something, just to and then realizing, wow, I love this. This is going okay. I like doing this. This helped me discover new things about myself, and so it'll all come together as to what, and you are really yourself, you are really who you are, and you bring yourself everywhere into what situation that you're at, and you stay with yourself, you stay and balance with yourself, It will all come together.
Sometimes people have a thought that they need to have it all figured out, that they need to have a clear direction for their career, and they need to know how it's going to work, and what their next role is going to be. And I'm curious if you ever felt that way, or how you've sort of navigated the interesting twists and turns in your career, and maybe sometimes feeling like you didn't know.
I didn't know that my art needed me and I needed art. I didn't know that my music needed me and I needed music while I was, you know, continuing in the different careers and the different twists and turns to where the stability at Harvard, you know, kind of kept me away from my art, I guess I could say.
Were you creating art kind of on the side?
It was just on the side, just bits and pieces here and there. It wasn't continuously like I'm doing. But mm-hmm. I have like maybe 20 canvases here going on at right. once. And it was just maybe one little piece, every other piece, to try and find an excuse to do one, or to try and find time, even time to do an art piece. And photography, taking pictures was satisfying, but not as much. Made my heart grow. What made my was art, and to keep it, you know, right now. So when I worked at Home Depot and started during the day, I changed to a part time, and that's when I got a studio at the North American Indian Center, and really enmeshed myself. I was like, this is the best. This is really nice.
So that was like a pivotal moment for you. Where yes. you, what I'm hearing is you kind of created the space and the time and the energy, mm-hmm. and you were in the right sort of environment.
Yes, and found NACOB, which is North American Indian Center, as supporters of this, of what I wanted to do. And they said, yes, come here.
And then you were really able to, you know.
Yeah, and to really say, okay, and applied for a grant for, I think it was like 3 grants, and a couple of them I didn't get. And I did get one with Massachusetts, and that was able to help me, you know, get supplies for this room here, to get supplies for the studio, paints, shelving, mm-hmm. and to get started on my path, which is to express what a community wants to express, and express what a community is about and what a community is. And we are Boston. Boston's a community. And and then as funding wasn't, you know, just learning the system, and it's sporadic. Sales can be going and then none. And then you're at a, you know, it's a very, it's not consistent at all. Right.
It sounds like you had to be adaptable.
Yeah, very adaptable mm-hmm. to it. And time went on, there were times where, you know, no income was coming in, and only that part-time with Home Depot. And when I got promoted to work in the hardware department, I went back to full-time. And so I'm full-time. But what helped me to hone in on the time that I have to do my artwork, I am able to distribute it where it's needed, distribute it administratively, to be more organized, to file things, so it helped me hone in on the strengths that I have for those bits of time that I have with artwork. And it seems like I needed that. I needed to know what I'm worth. I needed to know how sacred this space is. I really needed to learn that. I really needed to really think about things a bit more, and to really know what I want in the future and the next steps when I make that big leap to go, okay, it's going to be art. It is.
Mm. So it sounds like you really found yourself in art and used that as a way to guide yourself through different moments where you had chances to really focus on the art. And then sometimes you had to kind of let that sit and go do some other things to maybe make some more money or what have you. But like you're always kind of like coming back to the art. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's that kind of that grounding place for you.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I need to do that. And that's where it's centralized, and anything else that is done outside of that is just a supplement that's going to help the bigger thing that I am needing to do and have to do. And one of them is to really make that message for our Mother Earth.
Mm. So these other aspects are basically in service of the creation of
exactly.
the art.
Exactly.
Okay. Is there any advice you would give people who are interested in having a creative career and aren't sure quite how to go about it?
I think the love and the urgency that you have within yourself regarding your art is I think to continue to work with that as first, because that's what makes you and that's who you are, and that the outer stuff is flexible, or to be flexible with the outer stuff. Just could continue centrally to do your artwork. And just as one of my art teachers at the Institute of American and Arts, her name is Ada Medina. She had us, one of the assignments was to get your charcoal and darken your paper and make it black, and then to use an eraser and to erase away in making your image. And one of the concepts in that was that you are so prior to that we would like think of mistakes as, oh no, you know, oops, oh, I did that wrong, I'm gonna get my eraser and erase it.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of that project was to say, you do not make mistakes. That is part of you creating this piece, and it'll all come together. So don't be afraid. Those aren't mistakes. Those are just layers of creating that full piece, because that's what it's becoming. And that's the advice that I received from Ada Medina, and I use that metaphorically in life.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Career Buzz. Stories show that who you are matters. I'm your host, Erica Madison, CEO of Erica Madison Coaching and Consulting. I specialize in helping social impact professionals navigate career transitions and position themselves for rewarding career opportunities. Learn more at ericamadison.com. That's ericamadison.com. Thanks again to my guest, Geraldine Barney. Technical production by Heidi Hung. Subscribe to Career Buzz on your favorite podcast app and find it at the podcast link on careercycles.com. Catch Career Buzz every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on CIUT. That's it for today's episode of Career Buzz. Thanks for listening.